How's it going out there? Welcome back to the one and only New Year's week edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey guys, it's been a whole entire year. 2011 is almost done. One more year till the end of the world, sir.
Oh no.
How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing well, but now I feel like I gotta do a lot in the year.
Should do a lot
before the world ends.
Gotta do a lot in a whole entire day is what I'm saying. Wow, totally feels total different with these new headphones. I'm really happy.
Joe bought himself a Christmas present.
Christmas. I hope everyone else at home had an awesome Christmas. Hope you enjoyed our very awesome, what's it called? Christmas special.
Holiday special.
Did you enjoy the Christmas special last week?
Yeah, I actually did listen to it. Sometimes I don't listen to our shows. Actually, most times I don't listen to our shows, but
because we were there live, man. We were there live.
Yeah, we were there live. But I did want to check in and, you know, see how it's like to listen to it off the internet and all that jazz. And
what brought you to that? What usually brought you to listen to your own show?
We were promoting it, and then it had, like, the holiday picture. Like, you used the picture of Rudolph and Clarice. And then I was like, man, maybe I should watch this episode, because I like that picture.
Did
and I was
in the holiday spirit.
Or I listened to it. And then I was in the holiday spirit, so I was like, I should check it out. It'll make me feel good about the holidays.
Did that get you in the holiday spirit?
Yeah. Because we did hit on a lot of good topics with Danny and James, so I was pretty proud of that episode.
And it's always cool to have those guys in, and it's always they have a bigger fan following than we do. But we're here to set the tone, make the plate, have a damn good time. So yeah, 2011.
We'll just say
it's done. By the next episode, there will be no more 2011. It would have been a distant memory. And you know what's really hilarious about that is, like, I don't really remember the beginning of 2011 at all.
You don't?
Do you know?
Can I refresh your mind?
Yeah, we need to have a recap episode, like a verbal recap episode. What happened? Because,
well, I don't have a recap of our episodes.
But at least of life and stuff. Because the earliest thing I remember from a year ago was the 100th episode. You know, and we're about in that vicinity. So, like, I believe that's what my main focus. So I was like, we gotta get all these guys in here, and it was cool. We did get like all my friends, or a lot of my friends from back in the day, were on the show,
and including Bovey. I think Bovey, that it was like a major, what word can I use? Major tour de force that we even.
What does
got
that mean,
Bovey?
Tour de force? How does that come about?
Like, it's just in a way a small miracle that we even found Bovey.
Yeah. Because I don't even know where he is now.
Yeah.
he's like, disappeared off
see,
in
like,
the
I thought he was, like, coming back into our lives, but then he's disappeared again. So it's like, I guess he'll just reemerge every, like, 8 to 10 years.
I guess that's how life
that's
happens.
That's how the Bovey species is. He'll just, like, he'll reemerge, like, after a few years.
But yeah, but, like, even, like, yeah, the month of January, it's hard for me to figure out. I guess I was just working, and
I don't
guess
know
we
about
can always go
January,
back.
But I can, like, I guess, well, maybe it wasn't quite. My earliest memories of 2011, now that I think about it, since I'm going by month, January, February,
why not?
March.
Why not?
Well, March, I remember March Madness. And I specifically remember like being really pumped that VCU got into the Final Four. Our alum.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Because that was in the beginning of the year, you know?
Yeah. Because
they kind of, I guess they were getting like big heat in February, maybe?
Yeah.
Like they're pumping themselves up, and I was like, dang. So I don't necessarily remember what happened in January. But I remember, like,
January is usually a tough month to
it's like
remember.
You're kind of settling into the new year.
Yeah, all you have is, like, oh, the Super Bowl. And, you know, since I don't really care
much
about that.
I don't even remember, like, who played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't even know who was in there at all.
I don't even know who our champions are right now. But,
not that I paid attention in the first place.
Well, we would if it was, like, a team that was close to us or something. But, yeah, I don't really have, like, a strong affinity for any sports teams, but it was really cool that VCU got into, like, Final Four.
Would you say
I did watch most of those games leading up to that final game.
Would you say, was that a highlight? Let's just go, instead of going month for month, let's just go for the highlights of 2011.
Yeah, I will say, like, you know, that probably took, like, a big month out of my life, because I did do, like, a Curls comic strip devoted to them, and then I worked on that Shaka Smart vector illustration. I remember working on that for like, I mean, technically I really honed it in like one night, but I remember like spending like pretty much a week.
And
like
there was some drama with that, the Shaka Smart stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah, because I was trying to like get that made as like a t-shirt.
Because that's usually the plan. It's like, how can we make money off of this? What can we do
no,
to capitalize on this excitement?
I wasn't trying to like make money from him. It's just that like I have an account on, what was that? That
Cafe
site.
Press?
Yeah, like I had a coupon type thing that was like 5 years at Cafe Press. And I was like, oh, this is actually a good idea because I've been wanting to make a Cafe Press store for a while.
Yeah.
I just haven't like found, I don't know, something that I could really like do a good design with that I think people would get inspired by and, you know, enthusiastic about. And so I was like, oh, well, I should do this Shaka Smart, the coach of VCU. I should have him, like, you know, as a shirt. And so I made the design for it inspired by the Obama design.
Yeah.
And like the Hope poster. And then, like, after a few hours, they're pretty much like, we have to take this down. He's a celebrity.
After,
and I'm like,
a few hours, man, too.
But I'm like, the weird thing was, is, like, they're saying that he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that makes no sense. Because, like, I looked on their site, and I found, like, Shaka Zulu. And he was, like, some, I'm probably going to, like, totally mess up what he is. But he was, like, an African warrior.
he's not a celebrity?
But that's actually, like, what Shaka Smart is named after. And
yeah.
Like, to me, like, no offense to Shaka Smart, but like Shaka Zulu like impacted history more.
Yeah.
And like they had Shaka Zulu shirts, but I'm like, oh, but you can't have Shaka Smart shirts. Like, I basically asked them that. And then they had like, also like, this I personally thought was messed up. They actually had like anti-Obama shirts. And I was like, you're selling anti-Obama shirts. Like, that's anti the president.
But Cafe Press can't have the
but
Zulu.
But you can't have a Shaka Smart, like a VCU basketball coach that everyone was like dissing. Like, weeks before. You know, they were like, he sucks and VCU is nothing school. You know, like, and then, like, now he's, like, the king and everyone's like, oh, you can't sell that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of odd. And, like, they also had, like, anti, who else was, like, they had, like, anti, like, they had, like, all these politicians. They had, like, pro and con, like, pro Obama and con Obama. And then they, like, had some with, like, Hillary, Rodham Clinton and stuff, and I was like, oh, but you're allowed to have them on there because, like, are they not a celebrity?
But that was
like,
that,
you know,
was
it makes
a,
no sense. And then they
that was a highlight though of having,
yeah, anyway,
a VCU team up there.
Yeah, like, because on in all honesty, I would never have ever thought that VCU would get into the Final Four
what's
for basketball.
What's another highlight? Like, if you think back at 2011, what will you take back from this year? Basically,
well,
you know?
I would say that the VCU
basically.
Thing was like earlier in the year. I think then I moved on to like being into CM Punk. So remember, we did a lot of episodes talking about CM Punk on our radio show.
But see, like, for me, I was already in the CM Punk.
But what month was that?
That was the summertime.
No, but see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that Shaka Smart was, like, beginning of spring.
Yeah.
And then summertime, I gravitated towards CM Punk.
See, now it's sort of tough unless we really, like, really prepare to, like, look back. Like, you really gotta, like, recap, like, a recap year. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I
stuff
will be
like
posting.
That. I remember the new girl got into the new girl, but that's more recent.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to think of what did happen.
Well,
we saw Rango. I was really into Rango.
Oh, I know, actually, what was... First of all, speaking of recaps, I want to say I will be posting a recap of Curl Studio 2011.
Weren't we on the You, Me, Them, Everybody? We were on that
yeah,
show,
that
too.
Was
we
the
had
first...
him on the show.
Yeah, like, that was the first... I was the first guest of You, Me, Them, Everybody for 2011. So that's what we did in early January. What I was going to say was... Oh, shoot, now I forgot about the posting. Ah, I had something to say that I was, like, getting
well,
to,
you are
and then
you
said You, Me, Them, Everybody, and then
you
I
are
lost
gonna
my
do,
mind.
You are going to do, like, a recap on your website.
I am, but I was going to hit on something that we did early in... the year, and I totally forgot.
what was it?
I lost my train of thought.
Ah, drats.
Because you said You, Me, Them, Everybody,
and
because
it
threw
it's
me
all,
off.
Because it's
threw
all my, off. It's all my fault.
It threw me off,
it's
Joe.
All my fault.
Oh, wait. Okay, now I remember.
Oh, she's not yet.
Okay, national news. Remember that homeless guy that had the radio voice?
Oh,
that
yeah,
was the
yeah,
first
yeah.
big story that happened in January.
I remember that. We also had an earthquake this year.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was interesting,
so
too.
So what month was that?
I have no clue.
That was kind of over the summer.
I don't really remember the days and stuff. They all just merged together
yeah,
after...
2011 was one of those years that did.
They're all a bunch of... Every year, they all just merged together. When you're thinking about stuff, even before that, there was like... Was it Cloverfield? No, probably wasn't Cloverfield that year. I just remember those things.
Okay, let's slow down and like really think about it. So January...
Without having to search the internet, too.
Yeah, we are not on the internet, and I'm not on my blog recap. So January national news was that homeless guy radio voice, but then like I heard that he went back on drugs and then no one ever heard of him again.
That's what happens, man. That's why.
That was a pretty cool story, though, to kick off the year.
I remember this was one of the first years that we didn't go to see the burlesquepades.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we didn't, like, it wasn't necessarily...
Which is usually the burlesque show that they have over the Birchmere that we went to, like, pretty 4 years straight.
Yeah. I mean, more than 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
So, I just feel like we went so many times. And also, was Cornmo there?
Probably. Not a big fan of Cornmo, I must say.
You aren't. I only
Are
like,
you a big fan of Cornmo?
I can't say I'm a big fan, but I like his Gila Monster song. I feel like he needs to get some more in his repertoire. But we are big fans of the Pontani sisters.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe this year they can have like a cast of different people. We'll see.
Did we have any tours at the beginning of that year? The Carolyn and Joe show, Try to Remember 2011.
We did Capicon stuff and like some more local shows, but most of our big shows are in the fall, like New York Comic Con.
See, this is the exact reason why we have the Carolyn and Joe show, so we don't have to, so we're like, oh, let's go. What happened in this month? What happened in this day? We could just like
now we
recall
can go
back
each week.
Yeah, we can go back each week as we're almost breaching like 3 years on this show.
So also earlier this year, was it March, did we see the Kevin Smith Red State? Was that in March?
Yeah, we did see Red State. We had our own review of Red State. Brian Sarvis went with us, and we saw that, right?
Yeah. So we were one of the first people to see Red State because we went to the Washington, D.C. premiere.
Yeah, and that was fun as well.
I like the Q&A.
Always the toughest thing to get is like, I always realize I end up being the person that asks a question to Kevin Smith. And I always get up there and ask a question. I was like, come on, guys. This has to, you guys go up there and ask a question. How come that never happens? How come I'm always the guy that has to go step up to the plate like that?
Because you're the bravest, I think.
Is that really what it is?
Or you're the craziest.
Because Joe is the bravest?
Yeah. Well, you also mentioned Rango. I believe that came out in March as well.
Yeah, that came out in that area, I believe.
Which I enjoyed Rango. And speaking of, so Red State and Rango came out in the same month, at least for us. Because Red State came out later on for everyone else,
yeah.
Like in October or something. So as far as like top movies of the year, like I usually pick a top three. Did you have any top three movies?
I mean, I'm not going to pick what is the best movie because
no,
that's sort
you.
Of clueless.
It's for you. It's not saying... For everyone else,
like, I don't know.
Can you at least pick like
I want
films that you enjoyed this year.
Well, I am gonna. I can say a bunch of films I did enjoy this year, but I'm not. I don't want to be that list. How every year they always have that like the top 100 of the day, top 100 a year. You know what I mean?
Because or like how Washington Post has like that in and out list.
Because I'm gonna tell you the truth, I didn't really see a lot of movies in the theater this year, and people are always gonna wonder like, oh Joe, how come? You know, you never really have that many negative things to say because about movies that you see. Yeah, maybe sometimes I do, but when it comes to the movies I see in the theater, I want to enjoy those movies in the theater because you know what? I'm paying for it. So I'm not going to exactly go into a movie with the possibility of it being like a piece of trash because you know what? I got comic books to buy. And like I'd rather pay $3 for a comic book that was mediocre than... You know, then like, you know, like $15 for a movie that was crap. You know,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I can say for Red State.
Well, Red State was expensive. That was like $100 each or something.
Well, we also did get to like see the director talk and explain the movie in front of us.
Yeah.
And take a Q&A. So I think you're really paying for, first of all, to screen the movie pretty much 6 months ahead of everyone
else. Oh, yeah, Smodcast started this year too.
Oh, yeah.
The beginning of Smodcast.
And I believe that also started in March, if I'm not correct.
Maybe.
So, like, a lot of things happened.
Oh, yeah,
March.
We also had our ad on Smodcast, too.
Yeah.
We had our ad. Maybe we should have, like, a little listing of stuff after on the write-up of this show. This
like,
is the recap episode.
Like, the recap that I wrote that's going to premiere today.
We'll leave it on you, then. Curls-studio.com. Go to the blog.
Yeah. And they can check it out. Or you can also link to it on the show notes of this episode.
Yes, exactly.
But, okay, so... You know, Red State did blow me away. I will say, out of all the movies that I saw this year, Red State made me think about it for the longest time afterwards. Because, you know, so, like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll see a movie, And then it'll just be like enjoyment, and I'm like, oh, that's good. And then I'll never really think about it ever again sometimes. Well, Red State made me think about it for a long time afterwards.
What about the girl with the dragon tattoo? Did that make you think about it afterwards?
Yeah, but not as long as Red State for some reason.
Well, I guess it's still yet to be seen since Red State has been out longer than the girl with the dragon tattoo on opening night.
Yeah, I could maybe see, like, maybe a few months from now, I'm still thinking about girl with dragon tattoo.
I mean, I'm still thinking about the girl with the dragon tattoo. I mean, like, for me, I didn't read the books at that time. I didn't see the movies.
See, I think we do have to check out those. There's three Swedish movies. Now, were they made for TV or?
Yeah, they were made for TV, and then they were released over here as movies. But they're okay. They were TV movies over there. And I always heard a lot of the story coming out from it. But at the same time, I knew they were going to be, you know, I knew David Fincher was going to come over here. They're going to make them, you know. So like I was like, well, why don't I just save my effort? Because usually a lot of times when you go into a movie, if you know what sucks about whenever you go into a movie, already knowing what the story is.
Yeah.
You know what sucks about going to see a movie? Already knowing the ending.
Yeah.
It's what I love about going to movies is like being introduced to a whole new world and not having that choice to like, oh yeah, Batman doesn't ever really do that. It'd be great to find out about a character live and in person.
And that's why you gotta go to movies in the first week.
Yeah, that was a great experience for me. And that movie, yeah, it was pretty, it was, first things first, I knew it was David Fincher. I knew there was a rape scene, and I was like, David Fincher, rape. I was like, that's gonna be vicious. Those two elements right there, because Fincher, it's Fight Club. That's Seven. That's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. those things, man. Fincher doesn't hold back. And like,
did you see Benjamin Button?
I did.
That's when he aged, right?
Well, that's
where he aged backwards, right?
Yeah.
See, I don't know if I can say I enjoyed it, but I can see why some people do. It's you know, like on the surface.
So did you enjoy the girl with the dragon tattoo?
I did enjoy it, but I also didn't know what I was getting into fully.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't necessarily know about a rape scene. I knew that I heard somewhere, I guess maybe it was on the internet, I read like a small blurb that said that women are, or maybe somebody tweeted one sentence that said that like some women aren't liking it, but then they do like it because
I remember
she's so empowerment.
That's what you're telling me. You're like, I heard it's getting bad bad reviews from women, and I was like, why would there be bad reviews from women?
No, I think it's from women who haven't seen it yet, maybe.
See, that's the bullshit.
You know, and so they're like, oh, I'm afraid of the, you know, like they just don't know what it's truly about.
That's what I get most frustrated about is fake ass reviews like that. You know, like sort of you have your opinion before you've seen it with your own eyes. Which is,
I mean,
you know,
it is a pretty heavy movie. I definitely wouldn't suggest you bring children to it, because first of all, it's rated R.
Yeah, first of all, it's rated R. And look at it. Does it look like freaking, what is that? Does it look like Panda whatever?
Panda Express?
Panda Express. Does it look like any one of those
Kung
movies?
Fu Panda.
Does it look like Alvin and the Chipmunks? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is that, you know, unfortunately, the rape, you know, does happen to people, but I think a lot of people don't like to talk about it.
That's true. You can't find clips of it on YouTube or anything.
So it's like this, like, hush, hush, don't talk about it. But then when you see it, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, like I'm not prepared to see rape, but I think it was good to see because, you know, sometimes you gotta realize that bad stuff happens in the world.
Are you talking about the story or just in the world?
Both.
So you have to see rape in the real world?
No, I wouldn't want to, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I'm saying, like, at least in the movie, you could see something bad that happens to somebody, you know, and realize that that does occur.
See, like, to me, at the same time, yeah, that's a really strong case with the character of Elizabeth Salander. It's like Bruce Wayne's parents getting killed. It's like you need that event to sort of set the character off, you know?
Yeah.
And I brought this up before that, like, with girls, sometimes, you know, with girls, the most obvious thing would be to rape. Rape would be that would be a story device that would motivate a character, and people would relate to it instantly. They'd know what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing is, like, no one really wants to go out of their way to, like, see that. You know, to be like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, unless you really know what you're getting into, you don't want to be necessarily like, hey, I want to pay $15 to see this.
Oh,
you know,
but the, like, but, yeah, but like but at the same rest time.
Of it, but the whole thing is like, it goes, it's complementary to the story. It's not just like gratuitous rape just
it
to
is,
have it.
It is a brutal, honest cinematic rape. You know what I mean? There, it's
well done though. It's not a, it's not done in any intentionally malicious way or as a lack of storytelling device.
It is brutal. It is cinematically brutal and graphic, and I feel like, you know, it wasn't done with, you know, it, you know when you film stuff, like when you're filming, you know, when you make like, you know, I don't know, an action film with heads are flying and shit like that. And they're like showing it very gratuitous, like that. It's not like that, where it's just like you're relishing in the rape. It's showed, you know, horrifically, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a rape scene in the movie Irreversible, but I would never want to see that movie again.
And also another thing is like another movie that I believe came out this year, maybe the end of last year, is 127 Hours.
Yeah.
Now was that this year or last year?
I believe it came out in the beginning, maybe the end of last year,
okay,
but it bled into it.
Okay. Well, I will say when I watched that, and I'm not saying that you know, his hand getting stuck in a rock was anything less than a rape, you know, necessarily. I mean,
but it's
was,
a device that
it's
moves
a
story.
And what I'm getting at is that when I saw 127 Hours, I really did cringe for that, and I was... like watching it through my hair, like I put my hair in my face, and I was like, you know, when you make your eyes wince a little bit, so it's a little blurry.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I was still watching it, but I was like blinding my eyes, like obscuring some of the vision from my eyes, because I didn't want to see it fully, because I also have a thing with my hands, like I don't want to, like, because I'm an artist, I don't want to have my hand get cut off, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, with that, I was obscuring my vision on that because, you know, it's something that I do fear. And I also do fear rape.
Rape as well.
But when I was watching Girl of Dragon Tattoo, though, I did not obscure my eyes or, like, make my hair in front of my face and wince. You know, like, there's a couple times where I was like, ah! You know, I didn't, like... It was like a little bit squeamy.
Yeah.
Like I got squeamy, but I didn't like.
It was brutal.
Like,
it's
but
disturbing.
Visually, I did not take my eyes off or like hide my face or blink. You know, like I didn't try to close my eyes basically. So, like, I just think that's interesting reaction, because like in 127 Hours, it wasn't as necessarily brutal, but like with that, I was like really not. I was like trying not to watch. But with Girl of Dragon Tattoo, it still captured my attention, and I was watching, and I did feel the brutalness of it, but I guess I wasn't impacted to like turn away from it.
And I can see how, you know, like women don't want to see it. I can see how anyone does not want to see it. But at the end of the day, you look at the movie you're watching. Like when you go into a movie like that, you're if they didn't do that the rape scene properly, the movie would actually suffer.
Yeah,
like
exactly. There's
moments where it's like, well, you have if you deliver that, the rest of the movie has to have a payoff, and that's the motivation there.
And I also can say I did see a film once that had a rape that was not well done, and it ruined the whole movie.
Yeah,
it has to be done properly, you know. I mean, I appreciate it because it is a commentary on something that never does get talked about. So
abuse, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was good, you know, and I thought that the movie was good. It's just like, I guess what I'm saying is that know what you're getting into at least halfway, you know, like if you're going to see that movie, don't expect to see like Kung Fu Panda.
And you know, from the trailers, people can already tell what it's going to be, you know what I mean? But the one thing I thought was great that movie brought in my mind, and like I'm a huge fan of this, is cyberpunk. Like, I almost forgot that sort of existed in a way. Like, because these days you have so much, like, goth and wannabe vampire. But it took all, like, the danger away from what those entities could be. And growing up, that's almost, like, what I thought was awesome. It was, like, that level of cyberpunk, in a way. Everything that started from, like, the Blade Runner days of, like, you know what I mean? Like, that element of, like, that pure badass and trouble. And now all you see is the Hot Topic punk. You know what I mean? And yeah. I sort of like when I was watching that, and when I was watching Rooney Mara's performance of that, I was like, wow, man, I've missed that. You know what I mean? I missed that. I had a story that was sort of developed on a character like that, but you missed that sort of like goth neo. You know, you missed that element of like, wow, that's trouble. That's not, because you know there's a hipness of it now. When you watch people and they're like, oh yeah, that's hip and hot. Because even when we were like, when we went to like Giant today and we saw those dolls and they're all like gothed out. But I was like, oh, that's pretty. They look all pretty girl-like. Mm-hmm. But they're all like with that hint of Hot Topic punk.
What was the name of that? High School Goth or something?
It was like high school. It was like, you know, like Mortuary High or something like that.
Mortuary
High. You know, it was in that element. And then...
Yeah, it was basically called like High School Punk or High School Goth. Yeah,
and like when
that was the name of the brand.
And like seeing Elizabeth Salander, seeing that and seeing Rooney Mara's take on that, and I was like, I miss that in a way. Not everyone should dress like that, but you know, there's that.
Do you think now people are gonna like get dragon tattoos and like have this whole empowerment thing going on now?
Well, I think,
want to try to look like her.
Like for me, I feel like there's a difference between woman empowerment and alpha female. You know, it can like I love women empowerment, but I hate alpha female. I wonder if that makes any sense at all.
It does. It does make sense.
Because alpha female is annoying. Because that comes with... That usually comes...
It comes with the biatch.
Yeah, and it's also very unappealing. But I guess...
It's
like
almost
the cyber
like they're going out of their way to try to act like a man, but then like they still are not like keeping their true femininity.
No,
like,
but they're also fooling themselves too.
Yeah.
Those like... Those, the They're just fooling themselves, and that gets really annoying.
Well, I think that it is interesting because maybe the trend has died out in the past few years, but I remember about 10 or 15 years ago, all these women were, like, having tramp stamps of a butterfly, specifically butterflies.
Yep, stupid.
And now that the Girls with the Dragon Tattoo, I'm just wondering if, like, this will cause... It would be interesting to see hotel parlors and see if
hotel
they get...
Hotel parlors?
Yeah. No, sorry, tattoo parlors.
Yes. What is a hotel parlor?
I don't know. Tattoo parlors. It would be interesting to see if they have an upswing in dragon tattoos.
But also, like, I felt like this is perfect because now, like, girls are getting... A lot of girls are getting tattoos now anyway, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But also, in the sense, I also feel that fading away as you know, it's just...
Sometimes I wonder, though, about people's, like, modern-day tattoos, like... I don't know, like, the girl at the Kevin Smith show that we went to, not the Red State premiere, but we went to, like, his talk at the National Synagogue.
Yeah.
And, like, there's this girl that was showing off her tattoos, and then she asked Kevin if he could sign her body, and then she would get it tattooed the next day, which apparently she already had an appointment for.
Yeah.
And I believe that she probably actually did get that tattoo of Kevin Smith because her tattoos all over her body were pretty horrible. And they were, like, in random places.
I remember that's what Kevin said, too. He's like, why would you want that?
Yeah, he even, like, pointed out pretty much, like, every tattoo on her body and was like, honestly, he kind of trashed it. You know, like, I was like, dang. That takes actually balls to, like, just say that in front of one of your fans that's, like, getting your tattoo.
I mean, if it was a friend, he would be just as honest.
I mean, it is true. Like, that's the one major thing I really appreciate of Kevin Smith, in addition to many things else, is his honesty.
Yeah.
But her tattoos, like, we were right next to her on the microphone, and her tattoos were pretty horrible. I can't exactly remember all the things that she had, but they were, like, references to, like, minor things in crappy movies, and I don't know what else she had, but basically, like, in all honesty... Like, the whole tattoo thing, I don't know, sometimes I feel like people are just getting them just to get them, like, as if they're fun, and I don't know. Like,
I've seen,
like,
that a lot. I mean, a lot of times, yeah, like, there's, but it, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there's a lot of people that, I guess, naturally are just not that creative-minded, or they miss the point.
But also,
you know what
it's
I mean?
Like, are you going to want to have that on you when you're 50, 60, 70,
that's
80?
What I'm,
you know, like,
that's
I'm trying
saying.
To, like, keep my body for the rest of my life, you know, like, and... I don't have any tattoos. I'm not saying that they're bad or good. I'm just saying, like, personally, I can't really think of anything that I would want to have on me when I'm 80. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't want to, like, be an old lady and, like, taking a shower and, like, looking at me and being like, look at this butterfly tattoo on my butt. You know,
yeah,
like,
I mean, it's just not your, like, style. But if you were, you'd think that you would make the right choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I guess... You know, everyone has their own, you know, they
or
choose their own, but...
That girl's gonna be like, this is Kevin Smith's autograph on my leg.
But the tramp stamp stuff, man, I don't know, that to me already sort of got played. Whoever got that got played.
I think now a lot of girls are getting like dragon, not necessarily it's dragon, but it's like tattoos on like the side back.
But it's like I felt like the tramp stamp was like the tattoo for like the prissy girl or the like whatever, you know, whatever you
like
describe.
Like a sorority girl.
They're like, oh yeah, now we get tattoos, but it's not dangerous because that's
because I can show it off on my back.
Because I'm a tramp.
My bikini.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the same thing as like when people got those like piercings on their belly button.
Yeah, but now
which
it's a tattoo.
Really, I don't really feel like people are piercing their belly button anymore.
Yeah, but now people are stuck with those tattoos though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Nothing against tattoos. I've seen amazing tattoos. And when it's done perfectly awesome, it looks amazing. But when it's done crappy, God.
Speaking of
cover up.
Yeah. Speaking of tattoos, I wanted to tell you this because I haven't told you this yet. But apparently Dave Navarro is hosting his own reality show that is a tattoo. I guess they're finding the best tattoo artist,
yeah.
Apparently. I haven't seen any promos for it, but one of my coworkers told me about it. And I was like, oh, that sounds good for him because I'm glad he's like hosting something.
Yeah.
Seems like that would be up his alley. But anyway, we were talking about tattoos and it made me think of that. It made me think of Dave just now about him hosting. Anyway, yes. So, we should go back to talking about 2011.
I thought we were talking about 2011.
Well, then I think we got off track about tattoos and stuff.
Ah, that's part of 2011 anyway.
It is.
The one thing, even when I was paying attention to a lot of the news, any part of anything that's happening, I mean, there have been several days, several weeks, forever now in 2011 where I'd look around and I'd basically feel like, yep, this world is coming to an end in the year, because I see protests and attacks and I see everything, just chaos just happening everywhere, man.
So what do you think of Time Magazine's Person of the Year or People of the Year as being the protesters?
Well, it's great because, you know, the original inspiration for that image of the Time Magazine one basically had the 99% on that, the whatever, the bandana, the handkerchief on their face. But of course they took it away. I understand why they took it away, because it's, you know, they can't have the title on the face then. Protester?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure is. There's a whole bunch of them, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of protesters. But as far as like the world ending next year, yeah, a lot of like devastating things happened.
I just feel like there's so much.
Even the tsunami. Remember that tsunami?
I just feel like, yeah. I just feel like
that was this year.
Yeah, there's like just, you know, the world is attacking us. People are attacking each other.
And we had that, you mentioned the earthquake here, which I feel was so minor compared to Japan.
Yeah, but it was something.
It was something big that happened in this area.
Yeah.
And apparently the National Cathedral got ruined, and they had repairs for that, and the Washington Monument.
But I feel like it's such a combustible time right now that things are coming ahead. Like 2011 was just a transitional period for that 2012 blow up of some sort. That's
now, do you
happen.
Believe in that end of the Mayan calendar?
I don't care with the Mayan part. I feel like this is 2012 is going to be the year which shit goes down. Like, I just have that feeling. Like, it's like you can't just have all these people protesting in Egypt or a new government starting here and then, you know.
A lot of that also happened in action, like at least them all grouping up and taking action through Twitter.
Yeah, like that's what I feel like.
And in my head, I was like, man, they should have just picked Twitter as the person of the year. And then, like, I told that to my dad, and then my dad was like, well, they already chose the Facebook guy last year.
Yeah, you can't repeat.
Yeah.
So that's what,
like,
it comes down to.
Then I got all mad because I was like, man, Facebook's nothing compared to Twitter.
Yeah,
like, but as far as, like, you know, actually doing stuff, I feel like Facebook is a time suck at this point. I guess they do reconnect people, certain people. Oh, yes, he's back. Stickman is back.
Stickman dance.
He's on our screensaver. This is the third week in a row, I believe, that he's been on.
I just feel like there's so much.
You need to take a screenshot of that.
I feel like, hey, dance. I just feel like there's so much that's going on. Like, it's the quickness and advance of technology with the, you know, with all like the 99% Occupy, with the protests and the Haiti still whatever, you know, like all this stuff just going down. It just feels like something's gonna happen in 2012.
I think that the world can take more abuse.
I'm not talking about the world, but I'm feeling like just like global, not global, like, you know, like, you know, you just feel like something will go down.
Well, also this year, Macho Man Randy Savage,
yeah, Macho
died.
Man died, yeah, that
and
sucked.
Steve Jobs died.
It's true.
And Osama bin Laden died. And who else? Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, everyone dies every single day.
I mean, lots of big major... Gaddafi. Lots of big major world leaders, if you want to call them that, died. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the big ones were Steve Jobs, Elizabeth Taylor, and Macho Man.
I sad.
So, I mean, like... That's pretty big. Oh, the creator of the Family Circus died. I mean, what else happened that was so monumental? Space program kind of went downhill.
It's true.
I mean, I think that more bad things in this happened this year than good sometimes.
Well, at least the good stuff never gets broadcasted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of really amazing stuff that happened. Like, I guess... VCU.
VCU.
But that wasn't like a global thing. I mean, as far as like entertainment goes, I was really entertained by Rango.
It's true.
And I have a Rango shirt.
What else came out? I know Rango, and then there was something else. Super 8. I was excited about Super 8.
Super 8
did not let me down.
Super 8 was great.
We deciphered that every movie is just going to get an average rating from now on.
Yeah, it's more of like, unless things are truly, truly horrible, to be like... Like, and I can't even think of any movies that are truly, truly horrible. Because I usually, like, I just, nowadays, I like, the filmmakers just take me on a ride. And I'll just go on the ride with them. I don't know, what movie have I seen that was, like, truly horrible? I did see, Due Date on TV. And I can't say that it's a bad movie, but something was missing. Like, it just didn't hold me. Even though I watched the whole rest of it. But there was just something that, you know, when it ended, I was just like... felt empty. So that's always not a good reaction.
Well, to me it felt like maybe everyone that was doing that movie was on cruise control, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It was produced like in a cruise control type client, you know,
they're
climate.
Like, I mean, we're already going to make a lot of money because RDJ's here.
Yeah, and then we got Zach Galifianakis.
And it would be a like target for him. I mean, basically it felt like, what's that other one? With the, it's killing me. The one where they go to Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas?
No. You know the one I'm talking about.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No. You know the one I'm talking about.
The TV show Las Vegas?
No, you know the one I'm talking about.
Which one?
The one where they had a follow-up and he had a Mike Tyson tattoo. A Hangover?
Hangover?
Basically felt like The Hangover, but then like...
What about Bridesmaids? Wasn't Bridesmaids Hangover for women?
Kind of. I'm glad they didn't go to Vegas. But I did enjoy Bridesmaids. Like, to me, Bridesmaids was a lot funner than Hangover. Like, Bridesmaids, I would say, like, I feel like that made a lot of positive forward footsteps as far as, like, females in the movie industry and just females in comedy, too.
So how do you feel like the next 2012 is going to be, then? If it's not going to be the end of the world, if it's not going to be this, is there certain things you're going to look forward to doing?
I think, like, there is definitely, like, I guess we can, we can take it from... From, like, you know how we break things down to, like, entertainment, media, and,
we don't have to talk about entertainment all the time.
But I'm just saying, like,
entertainment show.
Like, as far as, like, 2012, like, the breakdown, I think that, like, right now there is political unrest, like, everywhere. Like, I think that...
That's what I'm saying.
I think that little people are, like, you know, noticing with help of, like, the internet and just, like, this transparency of government and everything nowadays, like... I think that, you know, like, whatever, the bottom 99%, the little people, you know, they're noticing that things aren't equal. And I'm not saying that things have to be, like, perfectly equal, because there will never be that equalness.
It's never been equal.
It never has, but I feel like people's eyes are, you know, people are starting to wake up.
Well, when you have information just freely thrown out there.
Well, I mean, there's, like, the WikiLeaks and this and that, and, like, there are people that are trying to expose, you know? And I think, like, there's always been stuff going on behind the little people's back ever since the, you know, dawning of time. Like, the leaders want to hold the great power, which, you know, it makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah. Why would they want to lose it?
Yeah. But, like, I guess, you know, there are some people that champion to fight for the good and some people that champion to fight for the bad. And I think that, like, I can't, you know, I'm not a mind reader, but I can, I just see 2012... possibly being more political unrest, you know, like they're all these like other governments are being overtaken, you know, through Twitter and the young people realizing. And I think also like the young people in a lot of these cultures Like, they don't want to be treated like that anymore. Like, they're going to stand up for themselves.
And also, if you're going to talk about entertainment, entertainment just is not just movies. Because, like, even with DC had their revamped of 52 stuff, and that was massive. To me, that was really entertaining. Wrestling against CM Punk, you know, you see the CM Punk's character breaking through, you know? That was massive, even though they fumbled on it.
And I think that his character, though, even, like, breaks through to appeal to other people that didn't even watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Because then they were like, yeah, man, I feel like that. And, like, it's kind of like he represents the 99% too.
He definitely represents. I
hate my boss too, you know.
Like, he's a representation of the audience to me, you know what I mean? I felt like, again, I bring back that metaphor of wrestling is a metaphor for life. If you look at that, you see, like, it's like you have the, you know, the bring out John Cena. Yeah, he is that accepted, clean-cut type product. And then you realize people will get tired of that after a while, and you need that Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You need that CM Punk to come out, because that's who the people are now. You know what I mean? Everyone was playing it safe. Everyone post 9/11 wanted to play it safe. Now we're freaking tired of playing it safe.
I think that everyone's wanted to play it safe for a really long time. Like, even in, like, when you're younger, you know, like, I'm not saying they brainwash you necessarily in elementary school and high school, but they kind of put you on this track. It's like, okay, you want to be on this track, you want to
avoid confrontation.
You want to, you know,
share.
You want to share your toys, and you want to go to college. Yeah. You know, like, they keep you on that track, and then there's always, like, a couple kids, even young, like, they'll be branching off early. You know, like, they'll like, smash another kid's blocks or something like that, and you're like, oh, that guy's the troublemaker, and then all the kids don't like him and stuff. Yeah. And, like, I guess that those people just kind of learn early, you know, to be assholes or something, but, like, maybe they are, you know, born assholes. And I think, I'm not saying that people need that, but I think that once you become an adult, like, I'd say over 21, and you start to, or even, you know, late 20s, you really start to realize, like, hey, you know, I can be who I want to be. I don't have to, like, fit in this cookie cutter mold of a person.
Yeah.
So I feel like the people that are the outcasts are coming to rise now, and, like, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even though how much I dislike Glee is a representation of, they do side with the outcast, but different outcasts. Yeah. You know what I mean? A more joyous outcast.
Yeah.
The singing and
the
dancing.
The joyous noise.
But here's the thing about even that. For some reason, I saw that coming, like, a mile away. I was like, High School Musical came about, I'm like, and once you have all these singing shows, I'm like, all right, it's gonna blast off. You know what I mean?
But so then what's going to be the next trend?
The next trend?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it might be Cyberpunk might come back. Who knows? It all has to start somewhere.
Yeah. But it is interesting how, because I first heard of Glee from, like, when I was taking improv. That was actually almost over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, they were talking about Glee, and the cast of Glee was, like, at Fair Oaks Mall.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then, like, all those, that's when, like, American Idol and all those singing and dancing things are pretty big. I mean, I still think that can hold on for a couple more years.
Yeah.
So that, with Twilight and sparkly vampires and Justin Bieber, they'll hold on for a little while.
They're going to, you know, because you do have this new crop of talent that's coming up.
Yeah.
You know, out with the old, in with the new. It has to happen to
maybe
keep things
gonna
fresh.
Maybe they're going to have dancing boy bands again.
They tried, remember?
With
new
who?
Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys toured this year.
Oh, yeah, that didn't really go anywhere, right?
I
heard
I
about
guess
it
not.
In the very beginning.
I didn't check it out. I did not check it out.
In the very beginning, I heard, like, the radio talk about it, but
what'd they say?
They were just giving away tickets and getting people excited. And then there was, like, women that were in their 40s, and they were like, oh my God! And I'm like, what?
We met the, like, Kills this year. That was cool.
Yeah, we did.
Actually, we met a lot of awesome people, I feel like.
So that was, like, in April.
It was in April.
Yeah.
Those are good days. Those guys are actually really, really amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just two people, and I can understand how hard it is just to tour two people, because that gets tiring, because the weight is all on them, and they came out and said hello and hung out, so that was really cool.
Well, like, in my Curl Studio blog, I realized, like, in the fall, we did so much stuff, Joe.
In the fall?
Yeah. Like,
what did we
I
do
guess
in the fall?
August, September, October, I guess part of
we
November.
We just slammed it there, yeah.
Oh my gosh, like, every weekend we went on comic book tours.
That's what that's the touring season for us. Basically, it's half of our year is our touring season.
You want to know something else? I did the math. Like, we did over 20 days behind the table.
Really? That's awesome.
Do you realize that? That's, like, almost a month, if you think about it. And if you were to include driving and other preparation stuff, like, I mean, that's, like, that's 1/12 of our year, and that's just like being behind the table. That isn't even like working on our products. Yeah. That's just making appearances.
I mean, I did a lot of writing. I've been doing the most. It's weird because my life is always split into many different, I guess, teams. People who know me just for my photography or filmmaking or music and stuff like that. But I do a lot of. I've done a lot of writing, more writing than I've ever done in my whole entire life, and it's great to see all that stuff. And I hope everyone gets to check it out and look out for it, because it's the Christmas episode from that Indie Comics magazine is probably one of the proudest stories I've ever made. So I love it.
Yeah, Magic and we bullet. Have some of our lucky fans that got it in the mail.
That's right. Thank you.
But like, you know what? It's pretty amazing though, because like on one hand I'm like, wow, that's a lot of like tour dates, you know. But then on the other hand, I was like thinking about it, and I was like, maybe should we do that many this year? Because like, I was like, in all honesty, that it was great to like be out there and meet people and stuff. But then I'm like, well, that's taking away time that you're like not working.
Well, I think what's going to happen is we're going to harness our books, because we have some great stuff coming out.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, by this time next year, I mean, we're going to have that DC book that's going to come out. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun stuff coming up in 2012, and we'll talk about it later next year.
That's right. Next week. Next week. As you can tell, I'm tired. 2011 has been tired.
It has been an exhausting year. We did work pretty hard this year.
And we still delivered this show for you every single week.
Yeah, we didn't miss any radio shows. But yeah, like, I mean, I'm excited about the upcoming year, but I really do need a break, at least for, like, to enjoy, you know, this New Year's and stuff like that. Like, I feel, like, really exhausted.
An average. This year got an average rating.
No, I mean, I think we did a great job. It was a good year. I won't say it was a bad year at all, because, like, a couple years ago, I would say it was a bad year, but last year was a good year, so 2010 and 2011, I would say, were our good years for me.
It's funny because Danger Days, the Fabulous Lives of the Killjoys, mm-hmm. came out, like, what, last October? But I swear to you, I rocked that album this whole entire year.
A full year of music. A
full year of...
From My Chemical Romance.
The new album, man, was really awesome. I would say that, out of that with music.
It was pretty
she
awesome.
She and Him, I listened to a whole lot of the Christmas episode, the Christmas album.
She and Him Christmas.
Yeah, what else did I listen to this year? New Chili Peppers came out.
Mm-hmm.
Really happy. It sounded really awesome. A new Fiery Spirit with Josh, their new guitarist. What else came out this year? We met Tom Morello. That was cool.
Yeah, we met him at New York Comic Con. We met Mark Hamill at New York Comic Con.
Met
Kaylee.
Jewel State. Met Spike. The list goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. We're famous. No. Even if we are famous, I have a feeling that we're never going to realize it. It'll just be never enough. Unless we get to that Justin Bieber, Michael Jackson, or Marilyn Monroe. We saw Marilyn Monroe movie.
My Week with Marilyn.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a great movie, too. Man, so many good movies. I don't think we saw a bad movie in the theaters.
That's exactly how I want. I don't want to go leave a theater and be like, well, that was a waste of money. Who wants that?
Oh, Toy Story 2?
Was that this year?
I believe so.
What about 3?
Oh, sorry. Toy Story 3. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. I slipped up. So Toy Story 3 was excellent, and that was this year. It's hard to believe that was this year.
Was that this year?
It feels like such a classic movie.
It feels like it was such a long time ago.
Maybe it was last year. I think it was this year, though.
The world will never know.
It's such a classic movie, though. Cars 2, I did not get a chance to see, but I do want to see it.
It's just a list, an almost hour-long listing of stuff we did this year.
I'm sure we did a whole bunch.
Oh, didn't I start my Tumblr? I started the Go Astray Tumblr.
Yeah.
Which I'm really happy about having that. Look up Go Astray, or just Google my name.
GoAstray.tumblr.com.
Yes.
Be there.
Be there or be circle.
I like that. You should use that for something.
Do you have a favorite part of 2011 before the show closes?
Oh, so much.
CM Punk. Maybe.
I mean, I did enjoy the year overall. I can't really pick one thing. I just remember being super exhausted in the fall time. Like, I was basically, like, spinning my wheels like crazy. When I look back on, like, listing everything that we did, like, that month, I was looking at the blog posts by month.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I don't, part of me is like, how did I, like, live? Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm still alive? Like, it's not like I went into battle or anything, but it just, that whole, that plus holding like a full-time job plus extra stuff, it's like I just couldn't believe that I did so much in the year. So, like, on a positive note, I did so much this year, you did so much this year, and we're exhausted.
Did I do a lot this year?
Do you feel like you did?
I don't remember. So.
See, that's the thing. If we don't even remember the year...
It's just gone. That's why we have the
radio
show.
You're like a spin cycle. You can go back and listen to all the episodes.
I want to thank everyone for listening to us for another year. Hopefully,
we'll be back next year.
Yeah, tune in next week as it is now 2012. My voice will be a lot better. But yeah, thank you guys. It's been amazing. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. We appreciate meeting all of you at the tour, and we appreciate you listening.
Now go get some rest. We'll go get some rest. Actually, we're going to go watch some wrestling.
And then we'll get some
rest. But everyone, go out there and do your own thing and make your own stuff. Because you know what? You have 1 year left.
1 year left. It's your last year of life.
That's right.
Happy 2012.
See you later.